Okay, so this is our second shiur on the Igeres HaRamban. The first time we met, all we were able to learn was Pasuk and Mishlei. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'altitosh Torah Simecha. So now let's continue with the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Tisnaheg Tamid, he says to his son, Tisnaheg Tamid, you should always be noheg, you should always act. L'daber called V'recha b'nachas. That all of your words should be spoken benachas, l'chol adam u'b'chol eis, to every person and at every time. U'bazeh tinotzel min hakas, and with this you will be saved from anger, shehi mida ra'a l'hachati b'nei adam. It's a bad mida which causes people to sin. So let's take a closer look at those words. Tisnahik tamid. Ramban is telling us, you have to always be noheg. What does it mean to always be noheg? So I think it means like this. Midos are really inherent to who we are. In so many ways, the nekudas habachira, if you will, of the mida, when we're the point at which the mida comes out is almost like a knee-jerk reaction. In the moment, we lose ourselves, and our inner essence, our mahus, comes out. Midos have to be the way that we're trained, the way that it's part of us. And that's why, you know, the statement from Rabbi Saul Salanter, that it's easier to finish us than to change one mida. Because midos aren't external, they get to the very core of who we are. They're inside of us through and through, that's who we are. We're a person with this mida or with that mida. It's our very essence. So to uproot it, it's deep rooted. So to get it out, you have to dig deep and get everything out. It's very hard to change a midah. Sometimes latov and sometimes lamutav. Sometimes you have a person is naturally very calm, naturally very kind, naturally very smiley. Sometimes we have very good midos, and sometimes we're born with midos which are not great, and they're hard for us to uproot. And that's what the Avodas Ha'adam is in this world, really to uproot those, to change a midah, which is a huge accomplishment. But the midos are at the very essence, the very core of who we are. So the Ramban says, Tisnaik Tamid, it has to be a midah, it has to be your knee-jerk reaction, it has to be what you do and who you are. One time, probably not even, but one time in class, I had a student who, something happened in class, I don't know what it was, if something fell or something happened that was came as a little bit of a shock, and this student blurted out an inappropriate word. Okay, so the whole class, hush, waiting to see what the Rebbe's going to say. So I dealt with the situation, I said I'll speak to the boy, I spoke to the boy at a later time, pulled him over, and I said, I want to tell you, I don't really have such a taina on you. I'm not upset at you that you said that word. It was an inappropriate word. You know it was inappropriate. I know it was inappropriate. It was the wrong thing to do. I think you understood that. This is what I told him. I said, you know, to me, the greater problem is you didn't say it on purpose. You weren't trying to say an inappropriate word. The problem for me is that in the moment when you had the knee-jerk reaction, that was the word that came out. I told the boy, I said, if that would have happened to me, I wouldn't have said that word. You know why? Because it's not part of my vocabulary. It's not one of the words I use. So that word would never come out. In no circumstance would I say that word because it's not one of the words that I say. If it's part of your vocabulary and you do a good job of trying to cover it up when other people are around, so then as soon as you're in a moment where the midos, so to speak, come out, so those words which are inappropriate are gonna come out because it's a split second reaction. You don't have time to think about what the right thing to do, what the wrong thing to do. You just do what seems the thing to do in the moment. And that's the problem. The problem is that it has to be that the words we use, the way we act, is so refined that in the moment, that even in the moment where we have that conflict or turmoil, that nothing we say or react to is inappropriate. L'daber called v'recha benachas, to speak softly. Speaking softly is sometimes the difference between a comment escalating into a major fight and a comment being completely diffused. To speak softly, sometimes somebody's very, very angry, they're upset, they come, and a soft word, a nice word, changes the whole tone of the conversation. Sometimes a nice hello changes everything about, and we should work on this, when we're in a, there's a moment of conflict. The moment of conflict could be that, you know, you went to the restaurant and you ordered french fries and they gave you onion rings. So now you come to the waiter at the front and you know, you could yell at him and tell him how horrible he is, what a bad person he is that he gave you french fries instead of onion rings. Or you could say, I'm so sorry, I think there might have been a miscommunication. Is it possible that I thought maybe that I ordered the french fries? Is it possible there was a mistake? And all of a sudden, with a situation like that, who doesn't want to help such a person? So again, if you just want to let out your frustration, so go yell at the guy. But if you want to solve the problem, if you want the situation to improve, you speak benachas. L'daber kol tevarecha benachas. L'chol adam, says the Ramban. It's not just benachas, kol tevarecha benachas, it's also l'chol adam. L'chol adam means, l'chol adam, even the people that, we're going to get to this, somebody that you would naturally look down at, that you feel you're allowed to speak down to, which should never be the case, and we'll get to that later, the midah of anava. But somebody that we would easily get annoyed by, even that person. Rav David Goldberg in his Ha'aris on the Igaris HaRamban, so he says, L'chol Adam are the people that annoy you and the people that bother you, and it's specifically those people, the people who offended you. It's human nature to be more difficult to speak harshly to those people. It's also human nature, this is something to keep in mind, it's human nature that, and this happens in many areas, this is a more broader discussion about how we treat the people that we, let's say, that we work with and we're trying to impress, and how we treat our families inside our homes. But very often we feel that we're almost entitled to speak harsher when it comes to our own family than when we have an impression that we have to make an impression with the broader world, that we want people to think we're a nice guy. When it comes to our family, sometimes somehow that gets lost in the sauce. So we also have to remember l'chol adam u'b'chol eis. B'chol eis obviously is the times that are the hardest. Now a lot of times, if we're not programming ourselves in the easier times, then we're not going to be able to do it in the harder times. In those moments, if your nature is to get angry and to react harshly, that's what's going to happen. And it's almost as if that's not your fault, because that is not your nekudas habechira. Your nekudas habechira is to work on yourself when you don't have those difficult situations. When it's an easy situation to diffuse, to practice speaking benachas. That's what the Ramban says is the way to a better reaction when things are difficult. He says that ubazet tinotzu menakas, and with this you will be saved from anger. The Rambam writes at length about the concept of midos in general. The Ramban in the Rambam, this is in Hilchos Deos in Perek Beis. He's talking about midos. He talks about how a person works on midos. So he says, "V'ketzad hi refuasam." If a person has a bad midah, what's the refuah for a bad midah? Mishu bal chema, a person who gets angry. Omer lo lahanigatz moshem huka v'kulal lo yargish kal, that he reacts strongly. So if somebody hits him or somebody curses him, he shouldn't feel it at all. V'yelech b'derech zuzman meruba ad she'isakir hachema melibo, and he should work on that for a long time until that angry reaction is completely uprooted from his core. Basically, to do things that are very shuffled, very lowly. If a person is very haughty, he has to practice being lowly. And then he goes back to the derech mitzoyis, which is the proper way to act. And you should stay on the middle path. And that's what you should do by all other deos, all other midos. If you are veering off the path to the left, and you turn to the right, and you get back onto the center of the road. And if you're on the right, you go to the left, so that you make sure that you're in the middle. Every midah needs to be a midah benunis. So for example, the midah of rachmanus. If a person is too much, rachmanus means to be merciful. People think that mercy is a wonderful midah. Okay? Now let's say a judge is merciful because he feels bad that the murderer should have to sit in jail for the rest of his life. So he says, you know what, I feel bad about that. We're going to let this guy off the hook. Let him go back to his family. Why should so many people suffer? You know, people already died. Let the murderer go back home. The murderer goes back home, and of course the next week he commits another murder. So would you say the judge did something merciful? The answer is obviously not. The judge did something cruel. It was cruel to allow the murderer back onto the street. Now, he was doing it in the name of rachmanus, of mercy on the murderer, but it was misplaced. It was misplaced. It was the wrong type of rachmanus. So, yes, does a person have to have rachmanus? Of course. But does a person have to be achsari? We always view it as a bad midah, but really, a person has to be balanced. You have to be balanced in all of your midos. Says the Rambam in the next halacha, v'yesh deos sha'aslo la'adam linog ba'em b'beinonis. There are some deos, there's some midos that a person is forbidden from being noeg bebenius in the middle road. It's interesting that he gave these as the mushal in the previous halacha. Gova alev, which is haughtiness, he gave that as the mushal that you have to go to the extreme end to get yourself back on the road. But really, now he's saying that gova alev is haughtiness should never be. Shein derech hatova shehi adam anav bilvad, ela shehi shfal ruach v'tiyah rucho nemucha lema'od. Anava, you shouldn't be on the center of the road. You need to be far, far, extreme in your anava and rucho nemucha. Ulufichach nemar b'moshe Rabbeinu, anav ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was anav ma'od mikol adam. He was very humble. V'lo nemar anav bilvad. Not stam and anav, but anav ma'od. Anybody who's gova leiv, he's kofar beiker. As the pasuk says, "V'ram levavecha v'shachachta Hashem alkecha." There's an interesting ma'isa brought in the smag. I think it's the smag that the smag in his sefer mitzvos. He writes that there was a period of time he was working on his sefer and while he was working on his sefer, he obviously left all of the midos out of his sefer, because midos don't really have a place in the smag. So midos don't have a place in tarig mitzvos, meaning different fortune, different explanations. Maybe the midos come before the Torah, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, so it comes before the Tarig Mitzvos. But there's a very interesting story that the Smag himself writes. He writes this in Mitzvos Losa Asei Samach Dalet, 64. He counts the prohibition of being haughty as one of the Tarig Mitzvos, one of the 365 Losa Aseis. And then he says that the opposite of gaiva is anava. And anava is a great midah. Okay? He brings a raya that anava is from a great midah because Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav b'kol adam. And then he writes something unbelievable. He said he always used to give, when he gives shir publicly, he always used to speak about the midah of anava, and he always was mishabech, the midah of anava. But he says that, of course, he didn't count midos among the tarig mitzvos, so when he was writing his sefer, he never included it. When he finished the 365 lavin, he had a dream that night. And in the dream, they came, and in the dream, they said to him that you forgot one of the lavin. And he said, well, what are you talking about? Which one did I forget? And they said, V'ram levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem alkecha. You will become haughty v'shachachtas Hashem alkecha. The pasuk we just read, it's quoted in the Rambam. So V'ram levavecha is so then says the smag. So he woke up, and from then on he included this in the in the Tariq Mitzvos. So of all the Midos, there's only one that was singled out as unique in this area of Midos, counting as Tariq Mitzvos, based on the dream that the Smag had. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on, and then the Rambam says, so when it comes to Anava, you have to be extreme. And says the Rambam, this is true also of the Midah of Kas. So we have two Midos, Anova and Kas, and we're going to see that the Ramban in the Igeres, in the continuation of the Igeres, the Ramban focuses a lot on Anova, and he also talks about Kas, and these are the two Midos that the Rambam says are Midos that we are supposed to be extreme in. All Midos were supposed to be balanced. In these two Midos, when it comes to Anova, when it comes to Kas, we're supposed to be extreme. Extremely humble and extremely not angry. And in fact, he says, even if you have to be show anger, it has to be completely michutz and not bifnim. You can't be angry inside. You can only be angry on the outside, only showing anger, maybe to teach a lesson or to educate somebody, but there's no such thing as real anger, and real anger is, the Gemara says, Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah, so it's obviously a terrible thing. Okay, so back to the Ramban. So the Ramban says, Vazet Tinatzel Min HaKas, and again, it's so important to be saved from the Kas. Then the Ramban says that, Kasher Tinatzel Min HaKas, Tala Libcha Midas Anova. One second. Vazet Tinatzel Min HaKas, Shehi Midara Lahachti Bnei Adam. It's a midara that causes people to sin. The Ramban is telling us that kas is not just a midara. It's not a singular midah. It's actually a root midah. There are some midos which are, if you have that midah, that's bad. Or that midah could be good. But there are some, and I think kas and anova are those that the Ramban is referring to, and perhaps this is why the Rambam singles those two out as the ones that you have to be extreme about. Those are the root midos, meaning there are many things that stem from a person's anger. A person's anger causes them to do a lot of other things, a lot of averos, and a person's humility will protect them from a lot of averos and protect them from acting inappropriately or displaying bad midos. So that's why it's lahachti b'nei adam, because it's not just its own midah. It's not a localized midah, it's a much broader midah because it affects so many areas of life. A person who has real anger. So the Ramban continues. V'kasher tinotzal min hakas. V'chein amar Rabbeinu, sorry. Kol hakoyz kol mini gehenim sholtem bo shenemar. Shenemar v'hosar kas milibcha v'haver ruach ra mibsarecha. That pasuk in Koheles that you shall remove anger from your heart, and you will remove evil from your flesh. And evil, ve'ein ra el gehenim, and ra is gehenim, shenemar, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, v'gam rasha liyom ra. Yom ra is the day that is bad, that is ra, is a reference to a time that a rasha, has to be in gehenim. So that's, putting those two pasukim together, we see that a person who gets angry, gehenim is ruling over him. Says the Ramban, we don't want to have this midah of kas, v'kasher tinatzel min hakas. And when we are saved from kas, tala alibcha midas ha'anova. A person will assume the midah of anova, shehi midah tova, mikol ha'midos tovos. Because when it comes to the midos tovos, it is the... So again, v'kasher tinatzel min hakas, tala alibcha midas ha'anova, shehi midah tova, mikol ha'midos tovos. When a person is saved from kas, so then enters the midah anava, which is the midah tova mikol midos tovos. It is the greatest of all the midos tovos. Shenemar, as Pasuk says in Mishlei Perchav Beis, Ekev anava yiras Hashem. The return for humility for anava is yiras Hashem. Okay. Now, it seems from the Ramban Pashut that there's a connection between the midah of kas and the midah of anova. Now, the way I understand the connection is that a person who gets angry at other people, the root midah is that he's lacking the anova, meaning You get angry at somebody because they let you down. You expected them to do something, and they didn't do it for you. They didn't come through for you. They said they were going to do this. They didn't do it. They said that they were going to, they promised something and they didn't come through, or whatever it may be. They did something that was not to your liking. Now, a humble person would react and say, okay, who says that I'm deserving of, who says that I'm deserving of that, whatever it was that I was promised? Okay, so he made a mistake. Why do I have to be so makbid, so careful that he has to, you know, the standards for what other people do has to be so strong? Why is it magia li? An anav says, so who says I deserve to get the best, you know, the best slice of pizza? The next guy will get it. What is that? You know, what does it have to do with? What does it have to do with me? I don't deserve it. An anav doesn't, in his heart, he doesn't have a taina. He doesn't get angry at somebody because he doesn't think that he's the one who deserves the best. Okay, so the guy didn't do what he was supposed to do for you. Okay, you understand. People make mistakes. Revolbi writes that people who are, you know, we speak of anava. Anava b'etzem is not just to think that you're nothing. Anava, that's shiftless. Anava means that you understand who you are. A person who doesn't understand who they are, they often look for it in others. They look for it. They look for other people to compliment them. And when the other people compliment them, it makes them feel greater about themselves. And it gives them their worth. It's their tully in other people defining them. So when a person understands who he is, he doesn't need the compliment. And sometimes the compliment, like we said a long time ago about Rabbi Baruch Ber, that the mice with Rabbi Baruch Ber that we told over a long time ago, that one time he was in America and he spoke somewhere, and he before he spoke, they introduced him and they gave all shevach. They praised him, the Gedolei Hador, great Rosh Hashiva, big Talmud Chacham, and they went on and on and on. And then he comes home to his host, and his host feeds him some fish or something like that, and the fish was spoiled, and he ate the fish and then he threw up. And then he turned to his host and he said that you should know I'm not throwing up because of the fish. I'm throwing up because of all the praise that they gave me before. I was so disgusted by it that this was just like an impetus to get me to show how disgusted I was by the praises that were heaped upon me. Baruch Ber knew who he was. He didn't need other people to tell him. But if you lack self-esteem, you need other people to tell you who you are. So if you don't get that praise, if you don't get that, if you're not an anav, you don't know, you're totally on other people, and they don't give it to you, you also get frustrated, you also get angry. Another form of a connection between anger and the midah of anava. So again, why does somebody get angry? Because they feel like somebody should have done better for them. They get frustrated with the person. A real anav would not get frustrated with somebody else. Who says that he has to do it in my way? Who am I to have an opinion about how he does it? Let him do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, I'll figure myself out. That's an anav. And like Revolvi says, an anav is also somebody who knows what he's worth. Somebody who's not an anav doesn't know what he's worth. He is dependent on other people. If he's dependent on other people and he doesn't get it, he gets frustrated. And that can lead to anger. I just want to, just to end off this nakuda. Tachlis, the seven habits of highly effective people. So there's not the seven, but the Shevet Musar, one of the Musars from Shevet Musar, he has in there, in Perek Yedzayin, he has a list of six ways that you can recognize a real anav. So I have you, I summed it up in, it's paragraph 24, I looked it up, Perek Yedzayin in paragraph 24, Os Chaf Dalet. So in that Os, he writes, I'm going to just summarize in Hebrew the different ways that you could tell that somebody is a real anav. Number one, he says, if you were embarrassed and you had a chance to take revenge and you're mochel the person, that's a sign of anava. Number two, if a person gets hurt or suffers a tragedy, he accepts it ba'ava, it's a sign of anava. A person who gets upset by it says, I don't deserve this, I'm better than this. An anav says, this is what Hashem wants for me. And who says that I deserve better? Number three, the Shevet Musar says, people praise you, you feel bad about it, and you think, you know, when they praise you, oh, you're such a big tzaddik, you're such a big talmid chacham, you're such a, right? You feel like, oh, it's so bad, because I'm so not there, and they're praising me for something that I'm not, and I'm, it's like, that's what I'm supposed to be, and I'm literally falling short of what you're describing me as. And then if they say something wrong, and they say something about you and it's wrong, you disagree with them. You tell them not true. That's number three. Number four, if Hashem gives you wealth or children, big brachas, you still humble yourself before Hashem. You humble yourself before poor people. When an ani comes to the door, do you look down upon them as if you have the upper hand because they're asking you for money? When somebody asks you for something, do you look down at them? Or do you say, the Rabbono Shalom, you know, made two people. He happened to have given me the money and didn't give the money to this person, but he gave me a mitzvah to help this person out. I'm not better than this person. And there's no, you know, just because he's knocking on my door doesn't mean I'm a better person than him. And do we think that? Do we think that when somebody comes to the door? Number five is that when you make a mistake, you apologize for your mistake and you humble yourself before the other person. So many times you see people explain away the mistake, they explain how it's not a mistake, they ignore the mistake, or even if they correct the mistake, they won't come back to the person to apologize. Just say, I messed up, I made a mistake, I'm really sorry. Apologizing is a sign of humility. And number six, the Shevet Musar says, is that you you speak softly with your family and everyone, and you're trustworthy in business. Just to end off with probably my favorite, a little bit, almost end off, my favorite Maisa about Anova. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivus was Rabbi Yaakov Loberbaum. They were two of the Gdolei Ador, and they were traveling on a coach to the city of Varsha. So as they were getting close to the city, the townspeople knew that these two Gdolei Yisrael were coming to visit. So they lined up at the entrance to the city to greet them. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger saw that everybody was standing out to greet them. So he said, oh wow, that's so nice. The people of the city came to greet the Nesivus. So he hopped out and he got in front of the carriage. I guess, you know, in those days they didn't have pictures, so people didn't necessarily know that there were a lot of people on this carriage. They didn't know that that was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he gets off the carriage and he starts to, Yamim al Yamei Melech, you know, he's dancing so that the Nesivus would come out. Meanwhile, on the other side of the carriage, the Nesivus thought the same opposite. He said, oh, it must be that all the people in the city came to honor Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he also slipped out of the carriage off the side, came around, and he's dancing in the front. Yamim al Yamei Melech. Meanwhile, the carriage strolls into the town. They open up the carriage and they see there's nobody in there, and they realize that everybody had gone, all the gedolim had gone out to dance for the other gadol. I remember one time a friend of mine had the schus to drive Rav Schechter to, he was giving a shir in West Hempstead. So he said, I live in West Hempstead, does Rebbe want to ride? And he said, oh, you're going to West Hempstead? Great. That's so nice. Yeah, I'm giving a shir. Okay, fine. So he comes over to me and he says, I'm driving Rav Schechter to West Hempstead tonight. Do you want to come and sit in the car? I said, of course. So there were three of us, me and two other guys. We're sitting in the back seat. Rav Schechter comes into the car. He's sitting in the front. And he turns around to us. He says hello when he gets in the car. And he says, so all of you live in West Hempstead? And we're like, He's like, you're going, it was a Sunday night, so he thought we were going home to, you know, to our families for dinner or something, I don't know. And we said, no, we don't live in West Hempstead. Oh, where do you live? I live in Passaic, this one lives on Teaneck, whatever it was. And he said, so why are you in the car? And there was a hush, because we're not going to say, like, we came to just listen to you talk. So nobody's saying anything. And then it took him like a good 10 seconds, and he says, oh, I understand. Okay. And then he continued the conversation. But it took him 10 seconds of dead silence, which was 1,000 words, for us to get across the point. We came to hear you. We came to learn from you. And that's why we're sitting in the back of the car. And it didn't occur to him that people would come and sit in the car just to listen to him talk. Moshe Rabbeinu was, we mentioned, was Anav Mikol Adam. So how's it possible? Why Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam? It's almost ironic that he was the greatest and he was also the most humble. So Rav Yosef Leib Bloch tells a Rav, he said, it's actually the two are connected. It goes hand in hand. Because it depends on who you're measuring yourself against. If a person is 5 feet tall and he measures himself against somebody 4 feet tall, so the person is 5 feet tall, is very tall. And if the 5 foot tall person measures himself against somebody who's 6 feet tall, so then he's short. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was a great leader. But because Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great tzaddik, he understood, he had a better hasaga of who Hashem was. And when he had a better hasaga of who Hashem was, he measured himself against Hashem and he realized how small he was. So the irony of the fact that he was such a great tzaddik meant that he was closer to the Ribbono Shalom, which meant he understood the Ribbono Shalom on some extent, on some greater level than everybody else. So he understood, he could compare himself, kaveyachal, to the Ribbono Shalom, and he understood how small he was compared to Hashem. So Be'ezer Hashem, we'll continue next time. We'll continue on with the Ramban with his discussion of the Midah of Anava and some of its applications and some other hadracha in Midos that the Ramban gave to his son.